There are some people who passionately love the Lord. And because they love him, they want his name to be glorified. Because they love him, they want his way to be magnified. I heard somebody say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Isaiah. The chapter is 54. And I'd like to read in your hearing verse number 17. Isaiah chapter 54 and the 17th verse. You have that, say amen. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon that is formed against thee or you shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. When you think about a weapon is a device that is used to injure or to kill. A weapon is an instrument through which people seek to gain an advantage. And then when you think about the word prosper, I know many times when we think of the word prosper, we think of it from a financial perspective, but all prospering is not necessarily financial. Because to prosper means to thrive. It means to succeed. It means to do well. And so when you put these ideas together, God is saying through his prophet Isaiah, who was revered and regarded as the dean of the Old Testament prophets, God is speaking a message. And he says to his people that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Now, in order to really understand this text, from the New International Version, I'm going to read Isaiah 54, beginning at the 13th verse. And I think this will help us to understand the meaning of verse 17. And Isaiah 54:13 says, all your sons shall be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame, who forges a weapon fit for its work, And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon, verse 17, no weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. And so through a prophetic word, God is saying to his people that even though I have used nations in judgment against you to punish you for your sins, a new day is emerging. A bright day of hope is emerging. He's saying that no longer will you have to fear a nation stronger than you coming against you to destroy you. Whoever comes against you, I won't be among them. And if they attack you, they will not prevail. If they speak against you, their words will not prevail, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm speaking to you now of a new day of peace and tranquility and confidence and assurance. There are some scholars who see in this, and it is certainly true, that he was looking down the prophetic telescope of time, looking at the Christian era, when we in the church of God can enjoy a peace that passes all understanding. We in the household of God can have full joy. And that's why we can say, after all the things I've been through, I still have joy. Now, of course, there are some people who wish they could live in a consequence-free world. But there's a connection between, and of course, in this text, he talks about the connection between righteousness and victory. Now, if you want to be victorious, you've got to be righteous. And there's only one person who can declare you righteous, and that's the Lord God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So there's a connection between your personal victory and your personal righteousness. As I said, there are some people who want to live in this world and they just wish it was a consequence-free world. What they mean by that is, I can do whatever I want to do and I don't have to worry about reaping what I sow. But we don't live in a world like that. But we live in a world where the Bible tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. But the Bible also tells us that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears, thank you, Jesus, are open unto their prayers. Oh, it's good to know that I can pray and the Lord will hear me. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that all this week while you prayed, if you have a righteous position in him, he hears your prayers. Amen. And he said, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So it's important to understand that if you want a bright future, then righteousness must be your thing. Blessed are they, have mercy, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, I want to be right. For they shall, he says, be filled. Amen. So as I share this message today, I want you to see two things in this message. Number one, I want you to see weapons that are formed against us. Because there are some weapons that are against you and me and all of us. But then secondly, I want you to see that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Nothing the devil can do to you, God can't overcome. Nothing the devil can do to you, God can't reverse. That's why the Lord could say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Warfare is serious business. It's serious when you talk about warfare. It's so serious, the Son of God said one day that what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he be able to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Jesus said warfare is so serious, it's something you really need to think about before you engage in warfare. Because in warfare, physical warfare, people can be severely injured. In warfare, people can be mentally and emotionally traumatized. In warfare, people can even suffer physical death. That's serious business. And as serious as physical warfare is, I want you to know that spiritual warfare is even more serious. Because all of us are engaged in a spiritual battle. There's a great battle raging in this world for the mind and the hearts and the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Nobody is exempt from this spiritual warfare. But in the spiritual warfare, we have more to lose. Because if we lose spiritually, and I know it may sound strange, but listen. Brother Ben prayed so beautifully this morning. Listen, I know losing your life is serious business. Nobody in their right mind want to die. Come on, talk to me. Is that all right? But do you not know there's something worse can happen to you than dying physically? And that is dying the second death. And when we lose the spiritual battle, we lose the soul. Losing the soul is more important than losing your job. It's more important than losing your house. It's more important than losing a loving relationship. This is the ultimate law. Jesus made it clear. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? Well, maybe I should ask in the present tense, what are you giving in exchange for your soul? Now, there have been many instances in the scripture of warfare. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, the Bible lets us know there was war in heaven. And Satan led a rebellion against God. And he influenced other angels to rebel against God. But they couldn't win. And they were cast down to earth. But Satan was so powerful and so influential, he led a mutiny. He tried to do a coup d'etat to overthrow heaven, but you can never overthrow the throne of Almighty God. Can't nobody defeat God. He declares all by himself. And then in the Garden of Eden, in paradise, that was warfare. The serpent went into the garden, declared war on Adam and Eve. His whole intent when he went in and lied was to kill them. That was his whole intent, to kill them. He knew by deceiving them or deceiving her into eating the forbidden fruit, it would be death. Amen. We see spiritual warfare in Noah's day. God saw the wickedness of man was great in her. Every thought of the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. And the warfare was so great, there were only 8 winners in the warfare. Only 8 souls were saved. and the rest of the people outside of the ark lost the warfare. Moving to the New Testament, the Son of God baptized in the Jordan River, dripping from the Jordan River, and the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was warfare. And yet the Son of God prevailed in every instant. Every time Satan tried to send a smart bomb, Jesus stopped it. Every time Satan tried to attack by air, Jesus stopped it. Every time Satan tried to come up out of the water, Jesus stopped it. And had victory. And he won a victory for you and I. And then when you move to the New Testament epistles, you find warfare. And that's why Paul wrote the church at Ephesus. Listen, he said, put on the whole armor of God, church, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Then he said, and Brother Ryan likes this passage, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. And brothers and sisters, that ain't no joke. We fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Apostle Paul saw, and there was still going on, there was a war going on against the gospel. There are some forces in this world who would pervert the gospel. That's warfare. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to allow anybody to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't stand idly by and watch the enemies of the truth defeat the gospel. So warfare is serious business. But I want to tell you, I got some good news for you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Let me give you four particular weapons that we all got to face. The first one is weapons of mass destruction. The devil got weapons of mass destruction. If the devil could have his way, he'd kill everybody in the church. Hello, y'all. Because he's a murderer. And he has some weapons of mass destruction where he tried to get as many blood-bought Christians as he can. And then there are weapons of mass distraction. Hello, y'all. And these are the weapons, watch this, that causes us to take our minds off what we really ought to be thinking about. Amen, as a New Testament Christian. Because the Bible says, let us therefore give the more earnest heed to the thing that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, distraction can make me neglect my salvation. I'm not a bad person. I just got this. You know, you can be a good driver, but you get distracted, you could crash. Hello? Remember one morning I was taking my kids to school and on the freeway, got the radio going, and just didn't look up but a second. I'm on the freeway running about 60 miles an hour, perhaps more. Amen. And before I knew it, I was right on a car. Thank God it was some side shoulder. So that's where I went. And I thought about distraction could cost me so much. Look at, Brother Hillary, Matthew 13, 22. He talked about distractions. The devil uses distraction to distract people from what they really, you ought to be thinking about this salvation on a daily basis. Amen. Think about it every day. What does it say, Brother Hillary? Matthew 13, 22 says what?
He also that received seed.
He that received seed
among the thorns.
Among the thorns
is he that heareth the word.
Hear the word.
And the care of this world.
And that's distracted. The care of this world. And you come to worship, but you got so many things going on in your life. You got some heavy loads. You're coming to the house of prayer, but you got some heavy loads, and you really can't enjoy the worship because you're so worried about how you're going to handle this pressing situation that's in your life. The care of this world does what?
And the deceitfulness of riches.
And the deceitfulness of riches.
Choke the word.
And you're worrying about how you're going to make it. And one thing about it, Brian Tracy talked about the fact that you ought to make enough money where you don't never have to worry about it no more. Well, I ain't got there yet. Y'all got there yet? Well, you make enough money, you ain't got to worry about it no more. But we all have concerns financially. Can you say amen to that? And the deceitfulness of riches does what, Brother Hillary?
Choke the word.
It chokes the word.
And he becometh unfruitful.
And you become unfruitful. Distraction can cause me to become unfruitful. So I will not allow the weapon of distraction to defeat me. I'm going to keep my focus. It's a lot on my mind, but I'm going to stay focused. And then here's another weapon, weapons of mass deception. We got weapons of mass destruction. We got weapons of mass distraction. And also the devil has weapons of mass deception. He is a master at deceiving and misleading people. Amen? And the devil has us when we get to the point that we are not concerned about the truth of the gospel. There are a lot of people in this world think they're going to heaven, but they don't want truth. They don't have an attitude that I'm going to follow the truth wherever it leads me. So these weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass distraction, weapons of mass deception. And then there's another weapon we have to be concerned about. And those are internal enemies. You see, I got some external enemy. I got some stuff outside of me trying to hurt me. Right. Hello, y'all. Amen. Life will hurt you. Right. That's why you got to protect yourself. Protect your mind. Protect your thoughts. Protect your emotions. Right. But there are some internal weapons. Peter talked about in 1 Peter 2:11. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter 2:11. He talked about weapons that arise from within. Let's see what 1 Peter 2:11 says, Brother Hillary.
Dearly beloved. I beseech you as strangers.
I beseech you, or I beg you. And Brother Ben, pray that in the spirit. Brother Ben, pray this world is not our home. He's absolutely right. Because we just traveling through this land. Some of us travel here 70 years, 80 years, perhaps 100 years. But one day you got to get up out of here. Is that all right? Read, brother Hillary.
I beseech you as strangers. And pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Which war against the world.
There's some stuff rise up within me that fights against my soul. He said, I beg you. But I want you to know you got victory over even internal desires. Those are the misleading desires that can arise in anybody's heart. Is that all right? Read it again, Brother Hillary.
Dearly beloved. I beseech you as strangers. And pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Which war against the soul.
Now run to Romans chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Here's another thing about these internal enemies. Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, Brother Sparks. What did it say, Brother Hill? Read it.
For I delight in the law of God.
I delight in the law of God.
After the inward man.
After the inward man.
But I see another law
but
in my members.
Can anybody relate to this? On one hand, you know, I enjoy the things of God. I enjoy worshiping God. I enjoy serving God. But there's a dark side too. Come on, y'all. I know we in church, but come on, tell the truth. We see, we got two persons. That's an old man and a new man, and the old man want to be in the driver's seat. If you let the old man ride, he will drive. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
But I see another law in my members.
I see another law. Where?
In my members.
In my members.
Warring against
the law. Warring. There it is again. Warring.
Against the law.
Against. Don't you have the experience of things rising and warring in your own mind that are against the will of God? That's the warfare. But no weapons formed against you. Christ gives me victory over that. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. I see another law in my member doing what?
Warring against the law of my mind.
Against the law of my mind.
And bringing me into
captivity.
Into captivity. To the law of sin.
To the law of the control. I don't want sin controlling my life. Hello, y'all. So no weapon. Weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass distraction. Weapons of mass deception. Internal enemies or weapons that fight against me. Here's a final point. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Now, you have the NIV? I want you to go now to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, as we move to a conclusion. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. I want them to read this from the New International Version, because it gives a very magnificent rendering of this concept. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. What does it say, Brother Hillary? The weapons we fight
with are not the weapons of the world.
Now you need some weapons, y'all. And most of y'all know that on a physical level. Because you know some of y'all own guns in here. And not only do you own them, you know how to use them. And you pray to God. And let me just say this. And under the Constitution, you do have the right to bear arms. Is that right? Looking at me strange. I'm just telling like it is. Sister Angela Frazier is a very qualified law enforcement officer. And she owns a firearm. And I expect she know how to use it. That right, Angie? Don't let that smile fool you. She ain't nothing to play with. Praise God. So you need a weapon. Is that right? The weapons of our warfare. Read it, Brother Hillary.
The weapons we fight with
are
not the weapons of the world.
Are not the weapons of the world. Now, to fight this spiritual battle, you can't use your 9mm, your 38, your 45, your assault weapon. Hello, y'all. That won't help you in this spiritual battle. The weapon we fight with what?
Are not the weapons of the world.
Are not the weapons of this world.
On the contrary. They have divine power.
They have divine power.
To demolish strongholds.
To demolish strongholds.
We demolish. Arguments.
Argument. In other words, we demolish any thought or philosophy or viewpoint that comes against the truth of God. And any manifestation of evil that would come against you and try to overthrow your life. Read it, Brother Hillary.
We demolish arguments.
And every pretension.
Against the knowledge of God.
Watch this.
And we take captive
Lord have mercy, Jesus. We bring into captivity every thought I have.
To make it
every thought I have ought to be under the lordship of Jesus. Did you hear what I said? I said every thought I have ought to be under the lordship of Jesus. Every thought. Read that verse again. That's verse 5, isn't it?
It is.
What does it say?
We demolish arguments.
We demolish arguments.
And every pretension.
And every pretension.
That sets itself up against the knowledge of God.
That sets itself up against the knowledge of God.
And we take captive.
And we take captive.
Every thought.
Every thought.
To make it obedient to
Christ. To make it a what?
Obedient to Christ.
Now watch this. As a man thinks in his. So if my thought is under the captivity of Jesus. Amen. Then my life. It's going to be under the lordship of Jesus. Is that correct? Now let me give you two reasons why the weapons can't prevail. Number one, because of God's promise. Number two, because of God's power. Let's talk about that for a moment. God promises my word, brother Wynn read it. He said, as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, making it to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Watch this. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Amen. The promise of God is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The power of God is the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Now I'm going to conclude with this. I'm going to give you four mighty weapons and you ought to be using them every week in your life. Number one, four mighty weapons. Number one, it's the word of God is a weapon. The word of God in your life is a weapon. Amen. Why? Because by the word of God, you can be built up. Do you feel like you're being torn down sometime in life? Do you? Do you need something to build you up? Do you need something to renew your strength? Well, the word of God is able to build us up. Acts 20:32. Now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. The word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God will save us. James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Is a weapon. And then the word of God will equip you and correct you. If you want to get corrected, the word of God will correct you. You ain't treating your wife right, the word of God will show you how to treat her. You ain't treating your husband right, it'll show you how to. If you ain't giving right, it'll show you how to give. If you ain't talking right, it'll show you how to talk. You ain't walking right, it'll show you how to walk. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Word of God is a weapon. Do you use it for your benefit? David said, thy word, hallelujah, is a lamp unto my feet and a light. Sometime when you find yourself distressed, open your Bible. When you find yourself stressed, go pray. Because all of us can get stressed. Is that right? Here's a second weapon. The whole armor of God. I won't go into all the details of it, but the whole armor of God is given to us that we may stand against all the attacks of the devil. All the cunning, the tracks, the attacks, the tracks, the devices of Satan. These things are designed that I can stand against the devil. Just because I'm tempted, I don't have to give in to it. Hello, y'all. Is that all right? Here's a third weapon. This is a big one. The blood of Christ is a mighty weapon. The blood, the devil has no answer for the blood of Jesus. You hear me? This represents the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the blood, the devil has no, because the devil's trying to kill you. He's trying to ruin you. But Jesus is trying to save you. And in order to save us, he had to sacrifice himself. But the blood, listen to Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Ain't that good news? Don't you get happy every time somebody pray in the corporate prayer, Father, forgive us of our sin? Don't you say amen? Amen. If you don't say it, you ought to say it. Is that right? We pray and we know the basis of our forgiveness is the blood of Jesus. When I was lost in sin, Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Is that all right? Because when I was a lost sinner, it was the blood of Jesus that released and sent away all my sins. I mean, he forgave every one of them. That ain't good grammar, but that's good preaching. I mean, he sent away every sin I ever committed. Not one sin will condemn me because of the blood of Jesus. And then, not only did the blood forgive me when I came to Christ, and then the blood continues to cleanse me from all my sin as long as I walk in the light. And to walk in the light simply means to live by obedient faith. As long as you're sincerely striving to live by obedient faith, the blood of Jesus cleanses you of sins you're not even aware of. Oh, I can say that. Is that all right? Because sometimes we sin and fall short, not even aware of it. But as long as I, by obedient faith, continue to sincerely live the Christian life, the blood of Jesus, I need you to read this. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus continues to what? Cleanse me. That's why no weapon formed against me can prosper. Because I'm forgiven. So really, when you think about it, ain't no need for nobody to live in sin. Now, we got folks living in sin, but ain't no reason to do it. Because the blood will forgive you of all sin. You walk in the light, it'll cleanse you from all sin. So, really, there's no reason for anybody to live in sin. There's no reason for anybody to die in sin. Because Jesus already died. So, why should you die for your sin? He already died for your sin. Moreover, brethren, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you will say, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, for I delivered unto you, first of all, how did Christ die? Hallelujah. Ain't that good news, Michael Alexander? How did Jesus die for our sins? According to the scriptures. He was buried. Rose the third day with all power in his hand, the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist. Stood on resurrection ground and said, I am he that once was dead, but I'm alive. Hallelujah. That's shouting material right there. If you appreciate having your sin washed today, that's shouting material. Publisher Clearinghouse ain't nobody can make you shout. The blood can make you shout. Read it, Brother Hillary. 1 John 1:7 says what?
But if we walk in the light.
We walk in the light.
As he is in the light.
He's in the light.
We have fellowship.
We have fellowship with one another.
And the blood of Jesus
Christ.
And
the blood of Jesus Christ.
His son.
His son.
Cleanses us all.
Cleanses us. I mean, it keeps on doing it. From what?
From all sin.
From all. That's a weapon, ain't it? Isn't it? Let me give you the final one. The final weapon in this lesson is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, a lot of folks don't get it, but there is no substitute for worshiping God. When you miss worshiping God, you miss something. Amen? The devil knew the value of it. That's why he tried to get the Son of God to fall down and worship him. Son of God said, oh, no. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And let me tell you something. A lot of folks don't think about it. There's only one true and living God. And if you don't worship him, you off into idolatry. Hello? Let me say it again. If you don't render unto God the worship and the glory and the adoration and the praise and the honor that he's due, then you are living in idolatry. Only one true God. And to worship him in spirit and in truth is a weapon. It does. When I worship God, that nourishes my spirit. When I worship God, I can release the trouble of the world. Well, I go back to him after the service over, but for a minute I can release him. Is that all right? And Jesus made this point as we conclude. He said to the woman at Jacob's well, Lord have mercy. He said to her that if you worship God in spirit and in truth, because God is looking for real worshipers. Real worshipers, not folk who just come to church. Real worshipers. Folks who come in here to seek God. Thanking God for another day's journey. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God brought me safely through another week. Thanking God that all is well with my soul. He said to that woman, if you worship God, God will put within you a well of water that will spring up into everlasting life. Let me ask you a question. Do you think a person who doesn't worship God is going to have eternal life? Think about that. Worshiping God is one of the keys to having eternal life. I worship God because I have eternal life. And my worship of God leads me deeper down the road to eternal life. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And that's the only true and living God. So in conclusion, I tried to tell you about the fact that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. We're all involved. We're all engaged in spiritual warfare. There are some big guns aimed at you. Satan want to get inside your head and mess with your mind. And he will mess with your mind. The devil will mess with your mind so you can't sleep at night. Hello? Mess with your mind, have you up early in the morning. Looking out the window. That all right? Devil will mess with your mind. Amen. But I've tried to tell you that there are weapons of mass destruction. There are weapons of mass distraction. There are weapons of mass deception. There are weapons of internal concern. But because of God's power, because of God's promise, your weapons are greater than anything. Have mercy. The word of God. The whole arm of God. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Amen. And worshiping God, how? In spirit and in truth. Oh, I want to praise God this morning. I praise God because no weapons formed against me shall not prosper. Is that all right? I don't know whether y'all heard me, but I want to praise God because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't think y'all heard me. I'm going to say it again, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Is that all right? One of the reasons I know it, because God knows all about me. Is that all right? God knows all about my struggles. God knows all about my secrets. God knows all about my public victory. God knows what situation I'm in right now. Is that all right? God knows if the burdens of life are weighing in on me. God knows what situation I've got myself into. God knows what predictions I've got myself into. Is that all right? God knows what I'm going to ask for even before I ask him. Is that all right? Because God knows all about me. Is that all right? And because of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Is that all right? If you know Jesus, Sister Jackie, you don't have to worry about it. Is that all right? And I'm telling you, you don't have to be an astronomer to know that Jesus is the day star of eternal hope. Is that all right? You don't have to be a geologist to know he's the rock of ages. Is that all right? You don't have to be an electrician to know he's a light of the world. Is that all right? You don't have to be a florist to know he's a lily of the valley. Yes, he is. Is that all right? You don't have to be a baker to know he's the bread of life. You don't have to be a musician to know he's the harmonizer of all life discord. Is that all right? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. And no weapon formed against me. I don't think y'all heard me. I said no weapon formed against me. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to lean not unto my, I'm going to say to the Lord, you show me what to do. I don't know which road to take. You show me. Is that all right? I'm going to hold on to God's the year might change, but God doesn't change. Years don't affect God. They affect us, but they don't affect the living God. Would you stand on your feet? That's the message today. I hope you've been blessed by it. I hope you've been encouraged by it, that no weapon formed against you. Amen. Shall probably. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Do you want to be a child of God? You can be one by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized. You're a child of God. I told you there's no reason for you to live in sin or to die in sin because the blood has already been shed. Amen. No sense in you living that one moment in sin. Why? Because you can plead the blood. When you go to heaven, when you stand before God and you want to go into heaven, he asks you, why should I let you into heaven? If you said to him, because I tried to keep the Ten Commandments, he's going to say, wrong answer. Is that all right? But if he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? If you say, because I trusted your blood, he's going to say, come on in. Oh, I can prove that from the Bible. You want me to prove it from the Bible? Let me prove it before I close out. There were two men went to the temple to pray one day. One was a Pharisee, one was a publican. The publican prayed and said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other people. I fast, I pray, and I do this and I do that. And then there was a publican standing in the distance. And the Bible says that he would not even lift up his eyes. He beat upon his breast and simply said in his prayer, Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. All right. And Jesus said, hallelujah. All right. That man, the publican, went home justified rather than the other. Man. Because I know salvation has already been won, and I'm simply living in appreciation for what's been done. Man. Amen. So why should I live one moment in sin when the blood will cleanse me from all my sin? Amen. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know. Wanna thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. Oh, yes, I love him. Lord, I love him. Oh, I really love the. Let's pray.